Bancorp's second quarter 2016 earnings conference call will now begin. This call is being recorded. On the line for Sun Bancorp are Thomas M. O'Brien, President and CEO, Thomas Brugger, Executive Vice President and Chief Financial Officer, and other members of Sun's Executive Management Team. I will now turn the call over to Mr. Thomas M. O'Brien. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good morning and welcome to Sun's second quarter earnings conference call. Before I begin, as normal, we will direct your attention to the forward-looking statements and disclosures contained in the press release this morning and encourage you to read them at your leisure. So the second quarter results for the company were reported this morning. Our profitability continues along the path seen in recent quarters. Sun reported net income of 16 cents per share or $3 million. The underlying trends continue to track positively. The quarter included a $1.7 million negative loan loss provision owing to continued strong asset quality, little to no migration in loan risk ratings, and flat period-end loan balances. Operating expenses at $17.1 million for the quarter included some one-time expenses and also some one-time revenues. There are also some accruals, which are typically intra-year items and will reverse out over the third and fourth quarter. As I mentioned, asset quality remains very strong in all categories of risk ratings, delinquencies, non-performing loans, virtually any way we measure it here. We added one $2.2 million loan to the non-performing category this quarter. It's a very long-term season loan here. It's always performed as agreed, but at its recent maturity, we elected to restructure the loan with a very aggressive amortization schedule. We reduced the rate and charged it off a few $100,000, which will be recovered over the next three or so years as the loan pays off. The loan was never delinquent in its history with the bank. Capital levels and ratios are robust for both the bank and its holding company. Consequently, the board was pleased to be able to commence a cash dividend at a modest level of a penny per quarter. Strategically, we continue to struggle in the short term with meaningful net revenue growth and balance sheet growth. While new originations are healthy, cash flow from the legacy consumer and commercial book remains high. This remains a very difficult interest rate environment to carry liquidity. We believe, however, that our disciplined approach in this highly competitive commercial market is the most prudent course of action for Sun. Our business lines are performing well, and we are getting and expanding some very nice, high-quality commercial relationships. Today, banks all walk a fine line between conflicting economic scenarios, managing in a highly regulated environment, and providing an appropriate return for investors. Everything is, of course, a trade-off, and we are making judgments here on protecting our investors' long-term interests. This is an anniversary of sorts here as we begin to rebuild Sun in July of 2014. It hasn't always been a picnic in the park, but so much has been successfully accomplished, and we remain on the path that was articulated back then. Time has passed quickly, but our commitment to all Sun stakeholders remains constant. With that, I'll turn it over to Tom Brugger, our CFO, to go through the highlights of the quarter.
Thanks, Tom. Good morning, everyone. We reported net income of $3 million or 16 cents a share in the quarter. This is the sixth consecutive quarter of profitability. Overall, we're pleased with the results given the difficult external environment and the continuing transition in the loan and deposit portfolios from past strategies to new strategies, and I'll get into that in a little bit. Let's take a look at the revenue side first. Revenue bounced back by $1 million from the first quarter to $18.6 million. Net interest income grew by $0.4 million sequentially as average loans grew 7% annualized, and deposits and investments were relatively flat. The net interest margin expanded by 7 basis points to 2.98% as we continue to patiently deploy excess liquidity into quality loans. Average interest earning cash fell by $22 million in the quarter to $126 million. As a reminder, our goal is to get that down to about $25 million. You will notice that loan outstandings fell slightly in the quarter. when you look at period end March versus June, and also period end cash rose. There are a couple of reasons for that. One is we had some late closings in the first quarter in commercial real estate. And then in the quarter, our payoffs and amortization in loans were right around $100 million, which is elevated. Also, the commercial real estate originations were relatively mild versus previous quarters. But our originations will ebb and flow. And, you know, for example, in the third quarter, our loans are up $30 million and our cash is down about $40 million. So, you know, over the longer term, we'll see average outstandings rise, but period end, we might see some runoff or growth. We continue to run off the consumer portfolios, and as a reminder, we're not doing new originations there. So residential and home equity loans fell by another $13 million. Given the high level of payoffs that I mentioned earlier, loan fees and prepayment penalties, which flow through net interest income, rose by $460,000 to $750,000 in the quarter. Turning to the deposit side, average deposits were relatively flat, but we are seeing a mild mix shift as we transition relationship customers into our newly revised products and we start to go on offense again. The deposit runoff that we experienced in previous periods, which were primarily non-relationship and some large deposits that were parked here, has ended, and we expect mild growth in future periods. Our objective has been and continues to be to grow relationships, commercial real estate, and C&I loan portfolios, and fund that growth with deposits and keep our loan-to-deposit ratio around 95%. We believe, with current strategies and the current level of interest rates, that the fully deployed net interest margin is around 3.1%. The provision for loan loss was negative $1.7 million in the quarter. We continue to see limited downward migration in the commercial portfolio. We continue to see high quality in our new originations. And we also continue to see sustained recoveries and limited charge-offs. So given that sustained asset quality success over time, the reserve levels are now moving lower to match the risk profile of our loan portfolio. We do not expect the reserves to loans to go much lower from here, but it really depends on the portfolio risk trends and the changes in economic conditions in our marketplace. A couple of other pieces to note with the reserves for the quarter. We did move a portfolio of consumer loans into held for sale and took a charge off of $500,000. This is a continuation of the proactive strategy for early identification of problem loans and try to restructure or sell them. We also had the one commercial TDR, which Tom mentioned, and that generated a charge off of $200,000. Turning to fees, fees rose by $600,000 sequentially. We had security gains of $426,000. Most of that was from the sale of Visa Class B shares, which the company received when Visa did their IPO. We sold those shares to another bank in the quarter. We also did a small restructuring of the investment portfolio, where we sold $22.5 million of CLOs and $8 million of residential agency mortgage backs. And we reinvested the proceeds plus a little bit into government-backed multifamily CMOs. The CLOs were not in compliance with the Volcker rule, so we had wanted to eliminate any exposure 1 year prior to the deadline for compliance, which is now 100% complete. We also saw a nice bounce back in our investment products fees in our Prosperis division, which was $160,000 from the first quarter. Overall, the core non-interest income is trending around $3.3 million per quarter, with branch and deposit-related fees making up about 80% of that total. Expenses totaled $17.1 million in the quarter. We continue to see good underlying expense trends. And one reminder that at our expenses, we do have seasonality. We tend to have higher expenses in the first and second quarter, and then we see lower expenses in the third and fourth quarter. A couple of items of note for expenses in the quarter. We did increase our recourse reserve for SBA loans that were sold in the past by $250,000. We also booked our PTO accrual, which was about $350,000 in the second quarter. That will reverse itself in the fourth quarter as a reminder. We had about $230,000 of severance-related expenses and another $150,000 of other kind of one-time items. So you add all those up, it's about $1 million of expenses that are non-recurring. We do expect some savings in the second half of the year with FDIC insurance premiums coming down. Our OCC exam fees will come down. We also have some insurance savings for our D&O policies. We have a lease that's expiring, and we continue to see good progress on headcount reductions over time. So you put it all together in summary, we are pleased with the progress given the challenging environment, both from an interest rate and an economic perspective. And we also have had this headwind that I talked about with the transition runoff of old portfolios versus new. Overall, our revenues are stable, and we are seeing sustained asset quality strength, solid expense management trends, and we also have plentiful capital. So with that, let me turn it back over to Tom.
Okay, and operator, we can take questions now.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, it is star 1 to ask a question, and we'll pause for just a moment. Our first question comes from Mark Fitzgibbon with Sandler O'Neill Partners. Please go ahead.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Morning, Mark.
Just two clarification questions on expenses. Should we assume, I think $17.1 million was the expenses this quarter? I thought you said there was $1 million of non-recurring expenses in there. When will that go away? And so should we assume a good run rate for expenses is sort of $16 million-ish?
I think if you take a longer-term view, the average expenses, if you strip out seasonality, the average expenses are around $16.5 million. We just kind of ticked off the items in the quarter that, you know, one of those items, the $350,000, the PTO accrual, is, you know, that's an intra-year issue. Some of the other ones are, you know, kind of non-recurring, which would be the SBA item and the severance-related expenses, that sort of thing. But on average, we're trending around 16.5.
Okay. And then just to clarify, the Visa gain of $387,000, that is included in the gain on sale of securities line, or is that somewhere else?
No, it is in the gain on sale. Yes.
Oh, great. And then given your announcement on the dividend, I guess I'm curious, you know, you're still fairly heavily capitalized. Would a buyback be a possibility at some point in time?
Yeah, Mark, it's Tom. It certainly could be. It's not the most financially attractive right now. And so we've looked at it, and I think it's probably one of those things that we put on the agenda for the next capital discussion, but it's probably a couple of quarters out before we do that.
Okay. And then lastly, given that you've sort of jumped over most of the hurdles for DTA recapture, what's left and when do you think you might be able to recapture that DTA in its entirety?
I think we've said pretty consistently it's 6 to 8 quarters and kind of a back-end 2016 discussion. So I think we're still there. I mean, you know, given the longer history here and the size of the DTA, you know, we're probably a little bit of an outlier in terms of the standard process. But I think we're pretty comfortable that it's, you know, basically an end-of-the-year discussion and a evaluation.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Mark.
Our next question comes from Colin Gilbert with KBW. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Good morning, gentlemen.
Hi, Colin.
Just wanted to circle back on your comment. I know this has been a target of you guys for a little while, that 310 NIM on the fully deployed liquidity. Can you offer kind of what you think the mix of the balance sheet will look like when you get to that level? Or what you need the balance sheet to look like to get to that level?
Yeah, I mean, basically, if you look at our second quarter numbers, if you add, if you replace the cash with loans, and we kind of see the same mix, would be around 310. and we have kind of a normal level for prepayment penalties that flow through margin. And then, you know, on a go-forward basis, then we want to grow it and kind of keep it around 310. And as you know, the yield curve is very flat. Absolute level rates are very low. So, you know, that's kind of with the mix that we have right now, that's where the margin will migrate to. But the mix would be basically add loans into second quarter numbers, and we'll get around 310.
Okay. So you'll take that cash position pretty much all the way to, I mean, close to nothing, I presume.
Right. And if you remember back in time as we were going through the restructuring, that number was around $500 million. So it just keeps getting chipped away over time, and it's, you know, it's down to $125 million, and we have about another $100 million to go.
Okay. Okay. And just around the loan growth, too, do you have the split as to what the originations were versus what the paydowns were in the quarter?
I mean, the amortization and payoffs were around right around $100 million. So, you know, you could see the change in the balances for the quarter, and
okay.
The difference would be the originations.
The originations. Okay, so $100 million. And that $100 million, how does that compare to the past few quarters? Is that number decelerating, I presume?
Well, it was very high last year, and then it decelerated somewhat, and now it kind of accelerated again. So, you know, it was running when the portfolio was bigger. That number was obviously higher, but, you know, it's been running $75 million the last few quarters, so it's jumped up a little bit.
Okay. And your expectation, I think from what I think what you guys said is that you're thinking loan balances will, the actual net growth will start to reappear in the third quarter?
Yeah, again, I think with the strategy, you know, that's you're doing a lot of a little bit bigger credits here now, focused on commercial real estate and C&I. So, you know, you're not doing little granular loans every week. You tend to have, you know, a $15 million, $20 million credit close. You'll have like two or three of those that'll close. And sometimes they'll be over quarter end, sometimes they'll be before quarter end. So you might see a little lumpiness when you look at period end.
Mm-hmm.
But the average outstandings will drift up over time.
Okay. Okay, that's helpful.
Again, the issue, Colin, that you know, we talked a little bit about is the transition in the portfolios because, you know, we have the consumer portfolios running off. We have some of the old portfolios that have been running off the last 2 years. And then we have the new strategies. And the origination levels for the new strategies are pretty good, but, you know, you're dealing with that runoff. And,
yeah
we're getting closer to the end of that, but you know, the growth will get better in the future as the runoff slows from all the legacy stuff.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, that's helpful. And then just what do you anticipate the impact to be? I mean, it just Tom, in your comments that you're kind of now moving a little bit more to an offensive strategy on the deposit side. Any impact we should see on the funding costs there, or you know, it sounded like the objective is to, you know, get some of these commercial relationships to bring over deposits. So does that mean that we see, you know, kind of maybe more of the non-interest bearing grow more? How should we think about what might be happening on the deposit initiative side?
I think, Colin, you'll see a couple things there. First of all, it's designed to, as you said, you know, build the commercial deposit balances and the relationships with Sun. Also, you know, some of the accounts that we either were able to increase or move out of the bank had operating costs associated with them. So you'll see some operating expense savings in areas like technology. But I think that the 4 basis points you saw in the quarter is probably representative of, you know, what the strategy's expense impact is.
Okay. Okay, that's helpful. And then just two things. Tom, also just circling back to your comment on the buyback, just said not financially attractive right now to do that. What kind of goes into your thought process on how you evaluate, you know, the buyback versus the dividend when it comes to allocating capital?
Well, the dividend, you know, frankly, the dividend was easier to do, you know, given some of the longer-term history here at Sun. And the biggest issue with the buyback really is the earn-back period.
And you're looking at that on – oh, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
No. And it's and there's two ways to look at it. Is obviously what you know the stated tangible book value today, and then the fully phased in deferred tax asset recapture book value. And you know that's kind of the dilemma.
Okay, so you're looking at it more on a stated basis than
one level. It's attractive, or it's doable, and but at the stated tangible book value today, it's pretty expensive.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So if we, when you, so then we, is it safe to assume that perhaps you know, assuming capital continues to build, you get to the you know the DTA recapture, that then buybacks maybe would come to a little bit more of a forefront in terms of capital tool?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's
okay.
Consistent with
okay.
what we do.
Okay. Okay. And then just final question. Tom, what tax rate should we use for the third quarter or for the rest of the year, do you think?
Well, the only tax that we'll have will be that tax item we mentioned in the past. We don't have any normal income tax with an effective rate. You know, it should run about $100,000 a quarter or so.
Okay.
Around $100,000 a quarter.
Okay. Okay, great. All right. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Colin.
And as a reminder, it is star one to ask a question. And we'll pause for just a moment to give everyone a chance to signal. And our next question comes from Ross Haberman with Haberman Management Corp. Please go ahead.
Morning, gentlemen. Just two quick questions. With all the local consolidation, Tom, could you give us a sense of how you view that? Are you seeing change in pricing, either on a loan or the deposit side? And a quick update, how big in dollars was the DTA allowance as of the end of June 2? Thank you.
I think the deferred tax asset at the quarter end was 126 or 7 million. Yeah. And, you know, we've picked up a few good commercial accounts as a consequence of some disruption in the market in, let's say, you know, the Philadelphia area and Camden County and Burlington and also up in, you know, in North Jersey. You've also had, you know, some of the banks with, you know, really high commercial real estate concentrations have had to scale back due to some regulatory pressures, and you know, and there's some opportunity for us in that. But competition still remains really, really tight. I mean, it's very competitive on both, you know, financial terms and covenants and valuations. So, as I said in the opening comments, we're trying to walk that fine line between doing this, you know, the right way and still getting our share of deals. I think with the turmoil with some of the consolidation, and I'd say more so in the kind of the Philadelphia and the New Jersey border counties to that market, there's probably some greater opportunity forthcoming. On some of the other ones, Ross, they tend to be more single-family mortgage originators, and I don't expect to see much out of that.
Okay. All right. The best of luck. Thank you very much.
Good. Thanks, Ross.
And there are no questions in the queue at this time, but as a reminder, it is star one if you would like to ask a question. And with no further questions in the queue, I'd like to turn the conference back over to Mr. O'Brien for any additional or closing remarks.
Okay, thank you. And as always, we appreciate your interest in Sun Bancorp and your participation in these calls. Enjoy the balance of the summer, and we'll talk to you at the third quarter call. Thanks, operator.
And that does conclude today's call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.